If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 19. We're talking about the triumphal entry. We're talking about Palm Sunday. We're talking about the resurrection of the Lord. We're talking about all those kind of things. And, you know, the songs you heard today had to do with the entry into the Lord, into Jerusalem, but they also had to do with the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross. They have to do with the resurrection of the Lord. I was like, why are you all sitting here waiting for everybody to get there, aren't you? Okay. I was like, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Didn't they do a great job? Yes, they did a really, really good job. Thank you. And I'm not going to take long. Luke chapter 19, verse 36 through 44, talks about Jesus coming into town and people, verse 36, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road gives down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they'd seen. Verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus said, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build up an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Now, I'm not going to deal much with that last part because that's a little depressing. When you think about it, that the problem that he's dealing with is here he's coming into town and people are shouting hallelujah and they're saying praise God. But when Jesus looks at the town, he realizes that a week away is the cross. And that though right now it looks like everybody's welcoming, there are a lot of people who aren't. And so I want to talk a little bit about, as we approach this, some people call it Holy Week, as we approach this week where we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord, as we get ready for Good Friday, as we get ready for those times that we celebrate and remember what Christ has done for us, and not only what He's done for us in going to the cross, but as we remember that the cross is not the end of the story, for there's a resurrection on the third day. But we need to remember some of the things that happened on this day. And the first thing we need to remember is that if we're going to really celebrate the Lord, then we need to welcome Him. We need to welcome the Lord. That's the first thing they did. They welcomed the Lord. As they were coming on the way, people spread out their cloaks. They welcomed Him. In Luke chapter 10, it says that Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. And the Bible tells us that we need to open our lives to Him as well. As the time when Jesus appeared, the nation of Israel was a captive nation held under the power of a godless nation. Many of their own people no longer really believed in God, although they proclaimed it and they held power because of it. They no longer really believed in God. And though the Messiah was in front of them, their leaders refused to see Him and refused to honor Him, even asking Jesus to silence the disciples. We live in a similar situation today. One of our Canadian neighbors to the north wrote this. The triumphal entry represents Jesus' offer to be our King and Savior, both as a nation and individually. The response is mixed. Our nation barely recognizes Christianity as a viable choice, and in its efforts to be inclusive, has all but denounced Christianity as an option. Sure, there are politicians and leaders who are Christian, and on a personal level, carefully admit so. But as a recognized national official position, Christianity doesn't appear to be among the top five. Every national initiative issues on the Native American spiritual belief system while rejecting Christians' right to be heard. Rob Parker, a representative of Ottawa's National House of Prayer, was cited in an article at the time of 9/11. He said, Parker said he realized Canada was becoming godless when the thousands of Canadians who gathered in a show of solidarity on Parliament Hill following the terrorist attacks on September 11th, 2001, were not allowed to use the name of God or Jesus Christ in their prayers. Folks, those are our neighbors to the north, but it seems to me that more and more that's becoming one of the issues in our own nation. That people are afraid to say the name of God. They're afraid to pray in Jesus' name. We are okay with a moment of silence in the schools, but we forget that we have to honor God publicly and personally and privately. And one of the things that we as believers need to be careful to do is to always welcome the Lord in our hearts, in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever we happen to be. If the triumphal entry, if the glory of God is ever going to shine on our nation, in our homes, in our lives, then we have to make a place to welcome the Lord. We need to welcome the Lord, and we need to worship the Lord. See, that's what happens next. The next thing that happens is they start shouting hallelujah and shouting hosannas and saying praise to God. Now, they're doing it because of the miracles God has done. And has God not done miracles among us? This church has been here for 200 years. Is that not a miracle? Lives have been saved here. I mean, literally saved. They've gone from death to life as they've trusted in Jesus Christ. Is that not a miracle? Over the past few years, we have had many saints who have breathed their last breath here. And the Bible tells us we do not grieve as others grieve, because we know that there's a hope that goes beyond. And we know that though they may breathe their last breath here, we know that they breathe their first breath of truly free air forever in Christ. And is that not a miracle? And we should worship the Lord. In Luke chapter 4, verse 8, Jesus said, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." In the midst of temptations, Jesus said that. Jesus quoted that Old Testament verse. And He knew that nothing on earth was more important than the worship of the Lord. To truly worship the Lord is to reach out to the Lord with all that we are. It is to seek His face. It is to rest in His grace. It is to rejoice in His story. It is to reflect His glory. To truly worship the Lord is to honor His power and His justice, to love His character and His mercy. To really worship means to give to Him your heart as fully and completely as you can. It is to love Him fully, to trust Him completely, to rest in the promise of our salvation. Worship is a moment on our knees by our bed. It is an hour on Sunday morning. It is a lifestyle that draws us close to Him. Worship is the palm fronds and hallelujahs of a triumphal entry. It is the quiet tears and soft cries to God at the loss of a loved one. Worship is the faith that hangs on when hope seems gone. It is the joy that comes in the morning when the Lord is once again proven faithful. And that is worship. And that is the triumphal entry. And that is what we must do as believers. Will we welcome the Lord? Will we worship the Lord? And will we wait on His timing? The triumphal entry, everybody is welcoming Jesus into the city. And they're sort of a little bit ahead of time. They're expecting something that's going to be very different than they expect. And we need to wait for the right time. We need to wait for what Jesus is going to do. Sometimes we can't see what tomorrow may bring. But here's the promise. I know what eternity brings. And eternity brings us close to Christ. And though I may not know what tomorrow brings, listen, folks, I may not know what tomorrow brings, but I know that 100 years from now, I'm going to be with Him and know Him as I have never known Him before. And I dare say that all of you, I pray and I hope, will be there too. And if you're not going to be there, if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't trusted Him, then maybe you need to experience a triumphal entry today. Maybe you need to say to Jesus, "Lord, I don't know all the answers, but here's what I know. I need to lay my life out before You and welcome You into my life. I need to worship You, and I need to ask You to become Lord of my life because I want to be living in Your time." A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday. He stayed home from church with his mom. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, "Why did you have that palm branch, Dad?" And Dad said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches. And to honor Him, we got palm branches today." The little boy replied, "Oh, shucks. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." Folks, listen. We're here to worship and we're here to honor God. And this is the Sunday that Jesus shows up. And you don't have to wait for Sunday. Every day is a day that Jesus shows up if we will just trust Him. The triumphal entry happened one day, 2,000 years ago. But the reality is that we trust Christ every day to enter our lives and to speak in our hearts. We should trust Him every day and welcome Him into our hearts. We should worship Him every day. And we should wait upon the Lord. Jude 21 says, "Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring light to what is hidden in the darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God." Isaiah 40:31 says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I am thankful to be a part of a church that waits upon the Lord every day. And it's not the kind of waiting that says, "I'm just going to sit back in the easy chair." It's the kind of waiting that is active and say, "I'm waiting, I'm preparing, I'm getting ready for the coming of the Lord." Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Let's pray. Father, the choir has sung, and Lord, I pray that hearts have been touched. Lord, Your Word has been shared, and I pray that it has reached into hearts and lives. Lord, Your Word promises us that it is a sharp and two-edged sword that divides even the heart and the marrow. And Lord, if there's one who's been pierced today by Your Word, who has been touched by song, who hasn't welcomed You into their life, who hasn't understood what it is to really worship You, Father, I pray that they would wait no longer. But that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day when they cry out, "Oh Lord, I believe." And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we offer this invitation? And this is your opportunity. If God is speaking to your heart, the altar is open if you just need to pray. But if you need to welcome Christ into your life, if you need to find out what salvation is, if you need to know how to trust Christ, then come forward so that we may share that with you, so that you may have a triumphal entry in your life and heart today.